In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Yesterday was a very rare day in my life. It was one of those days when my calendar was absolutely and completely free. There were no appointments, we didn't have any errands, and we didn't have a rush to get anything done. It's always nice to have times when Amy and I can get up early and sit together before the kids wake up, long before the kids wake up, drinking a cup of coffee and talking or catching up on the news. As we spent some quiet time together, thoughts about what direction my sermon this morning might take floated around in my head. And I was trying to give the Holy Spirit space to nudge me in the direction where those thoughts would come together. Now, admittedly, there's been a great deal in the past few days that made this difficult for me. Chaos in the world, divisiveness in the country, illness, trauma, grief, sorrow, especially in the lives of some of my family and friends at this time. And turning on the Saturday morning news certainly didn't help, as just a few minutes with that back and forth seemed to push the ideas that were gently floating around in my mind into an uncontrollable swirl. Forgive me. The figure at the center of this idea storm that I was having, Jesus, remained constant. I realized that my struggle was in trying to work from the outside in, moving through that uncontrolled torrent of ideas towards the center. In fact, what I needed to be doing was starting at the center and then working outwards, using that point of inner stability to help give shape and form to everything outside. And when I did that, three particular thoughts came into focus. And it's those three that I'd like to offer this morning. First, we are called to listen. The necessity of listening for God and to God is something that I've touched on quite often, even as recently as last week when I talked about the section of Deuteronomy, the Shema, that begins with the words, "Hear, O Israel." I've offered examples of many moments throughout the scriptures when there's been the presence of a gap, moments of silence into which God's voice speaks. But this morning, however, in this reading from Matthew, we experience something a bit different. God doesn't wait for the silence to develop. God interrupts. Listen again to this verse. While he, Peter, was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Now remember, this isn't the first time that God has proclaimed this about Jesus. In the third chapter of this same gospel, we hear God speak at the baptism. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Now, when God says something, when God says anything one time, we know it's important. So how much more important is it then, and how much more are we being called to absorb and remember it when God says something twice? This isn't a command to ease back on conversation and wait for a gap. This is God telling them to be quiet. "Here is my son. He is a source of great joy for me, and he has something to say. Listen." Now, of course, the three disciples who had followed Jesus up on the mountain had no choice but to listen. The voice was that apparent. I have this image in mind of Peter rambling on and on, letting his excitement and emotion in that moment of having seen Jesus standing with Moses and Elijah pour out in this never-ending flow of words. And here, God didn't wait for Peter to finish his thought. God didn't wait for a silent moment to develop. God cut in. Next, we have the powerful, tender image of the disciples being comforted by Jesus. Just a few moments earlier, they had heard the voice of God speaking to them from the bright cloud that had enveloped the mountaintop. It was an overwhelming experience, one that caused these three men to fall to the ground in fear. But rather than allowing them to remain in that moment of fear, Jesus walks over to them and he kneels down beside them and he touches them. With a reassuring tone, he says to them, "Get up and do not be afraid." Similarly, Jesus offers that comfort to each one of us in our own moments of fear. Every time we are gripped with uncertainty, every time we are seized by doubt, every time we find ourselves enveloped not in bright light but in a dark storm, we become these disciples. Like Peter and James and John before us, we receive the gift of peace and reassurance from Jesus. When we are balled up in our own cocoons of fright or sorrow or guilt or fear, we have a choice. We can cling to all of these feelings to the exclusion of everything else, or we can open ourselves to the realization that Jesus is walking over to us and kneeling down beside us and touching our ears and our hearts with those same words, "Do not be afraid." Now, receiving this strength, receiving the help to conquer the fear in our own lives, leads me to my final point, and it's rooted in a statement I read by J. William Harkins, a professor at Columbia Theological Seminary. In addressing this passage from Matthew, he wrote, "Perhaps, paradoxically, this may mean being mindful of the mystery and awe of the uniqueness of Christ portrayed in this passage, while recognizing that in some way we too are to be bearers of that light." We too are to be bearers of that light. This is a passage of brightness. In this moment, the face of Jesus was as bright as the sun. His clothes were illuminated by a brilliant white light. Even the cloud that moved in to blanket those on the mountaintop was described as bright. Everything is dazzling and radiant. In a world that was often shrouded in darkness, this was a moment when the light of God and the brilliance of Jesus cut through the shadows and the gloom. The light didn't fade out as this scene faded out, however. Jesus embodied this light throughout the remainder of his life and his ministry, even to the point of being lifted on a cross and then being laid in the tomb, and then that brilliant, bright first Easter morning when he rose. Peter and James and John certainly carried it as well, as a flame that kindled and burned in their hearts and their souls. Now it's our turn. It's our obligation to be those bearing the light into the world. It's our responsibility as children of God and witnesses to the light of Christ to share moments of brightness with those around us, especially those who find themselves in the seemingly never-ending darkness of doubt or fear or loneliness. The moments of wonder we experience in our lives, the moments when we experience the brilliant light of God at work for and in us, is not something to be possessed, but a gift to be shared. They are not like treasure to be hoarded in personal storehouses, but rather these moments are riches to be given to others. So here we are. Three things that I pray you will carry away with you this morning and ponder. Three things for which we can be both recipients and conduits. The words we hear from God are the words we can speak to others. The strength and reassurance we receive from Jesus are the gifts we can use to strengthen and reassure others. The light that illuminates our lives is the light we can shine into the darkness felt by others. Mountaintop experiences are only those things when we have the opportunity to go up the mountain. For those who find it impossible to leave the valley, for those whose only glimpse of the mountaintop is from a great distance, it's important that we bring them our experiences in the brightness. Mountaintop experiences don't end when we come off the mountain. The experience and the memory and the gift of those times remains. Whenever we can, we should take the words and the love and the light we receive on the mountain to all those living in the darkness of the valley. And in that way, in the words of the prophet Isaiah, every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground will become level, and the rough places a plain. In that way and in that time, we will know once more that Jesus is the beloved Son of God. Listen to him. Amen.